Hey, good morning as well. I just want to say also that I'm so glad to have you guys here. We know there's a bazillion other places you could be, so we're thrilled to have you here with us. In case we haven't met, if you've never been here before, my name is Sten. I'm the pastor, and we are thrilled to have you here. For the past few years, my family has made kind of a renewed commitment, maybe a new commitment to eating better, to choosing healthier foods, making smarter choices, better habits, all that. This is in large part thanks to my wife, Erica, who's always learning, always reading, and really leading the way for us. Our whole family is really better for it. Along the way, I've been introduced to a lot of new words, a lot of new concepts, a lot of new phrases, a lot of new programs that are gaining in popularity these days. Maybe you've heard about some of them. There's intermittent fasting. I didn't realize that was like a new thing. I just thought that that's what I had been doing all along between meals or between snack time. I was fasting intermittently, okay? But apparently, it's more than that, but that's good to know. There's also Whole30. Some of you have done Whole30. We've done Whole30 in our family. I should really say my wife has done Whole30. I've tried Whole30. I get to about 4 days, if you know the whole concept. I get like 4 days in, and I need a slice of cheese. I need a slice of bread, something, and the whole thing comes to a crash. There's the 30-day cleanse, another one that's kind of similar, and then there's this one here. This is the one that my family has engaged with most, this kind of new concept that I've been learning. There's the detox, right? You heard of the detox, right? I think that we're living kind of in the day of the detox, right? Oh, I need a detox. Oh, it's been such a bad month. I need a detox. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to detox, right? It's not uncommon in our house, in our family, to get to this point where we're saying, all right, we need a detox. Most commonly, after a bad stretch, maybe a week of vacation where we kind of eased up a little bit, we kind of loosened the reins. Maybe after the holidays, Erica and I will usually get to the place where we say, okay, we need a sugar detox. We got to get it out of the house. We got to get it out of the pantry. We got to get it out of our system. It is for our own good. Maybe you've experienced the same thing. Maybe you've gotten to the same point where you realize you need a detox. Maybe it was a sugar detox. Maybe it was a candy detox or a coffee detox. Maybe an alcohol detox. Maybe a pizza detox, a San Pedro nachos detox. Their list is long. It could be anything that's holding you back, getting your way of the healthy goals that you have for yourself. I don't know what it is, but at the right time, right, a detox, this kind of detox can be a really, really good thing. Here's the definition. I looked it up just to learn a little bit more. Here's the definition of a detox. You'll see it on the side screens here. A process or period of time in which one abstains from or rids the body of toxic or unhealthy substances. You catch that? It's a process or a period of time in which one abstains from or rids the body of toxic or unhealthy substances. For many of us, like that's like the goal as the new year flips, right? Let's get rid of all this toxic stuff that we've been putting into our bodies. That's the fresh start that we need. That's the one thing that we think will make this year different. That's the one thing that's gonna make this year, this next stretch, this next week, this month, next month, a whole lot better than the last. And the truth is, sometimes that's necessary. Sometimes that's helpful. Sometimes that's a really good thing. Based on how the last week or month or year has gone, sometimes a detox like this for our body, sometimes a detox is a really wise and is a really healthy thing to do. But here's what I want to suggest today. Here's what I want to suggest today. Then in light of what God wants to do in you and in me, in light of what God has planned or prepared for the year or the week or the month ahead, right? This kind of detox might be a good thing. But what I want to suggest today is that it may not be the most important thing. It may not be the only thing that is really best for us. What if instead of taking an inventory only of the toxic and unhealthy things that we let into our bodies, what if we took an inventory also? What if we were just as mindful also about the toxic and the unhealthy things that we let into our heads and into our hearts and into our souls? What if we pay just as much attention to the things that we let inside of us, the things that we let take control, the things that we let fill our heads and our hearts and our minds? What if we pay just as much attention to this stuff in the weeks and in the days and in the months and in the years to come? I think paying attention to these things that we let inside of us, it could make all the difference in our lives. It could be the things that actually gives us the fresh start that we need. It could be the very thing that would prepare us for, that would get us ready for the life that I think God has in store for us, okay? And that's why we're starting a brand new series today called Detox. Starting a brand new series for the next 6 weeks, we'll be in this series called Detox. But here's the thing, it's a soul detox, right? It's not a detox for our bodies. It's not getting rid of candy or sugar or anything else. It's a detox for our soul, because here's the thing, right? Here's why this detox is so important. It's a soul detox where we're gonna spend time getting rid of toxic behaviors, toxic emotions, and toxic influences that I think hold us back from the life that God has in store for us. Because here's the thing, right? Here's what I believe deep down in my soul. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been or where you come from. I don't care how many times you've been to church or if you've never been to church at all. I don't care how many Bible verses you know or if you don't know any Bible verses at all, if you've ever opened the Bible before at all. Here's what I really believe, that God has some great things in store for you. I really do believe that God has some great things lined up for you, that God has a really bright future and some really great plans prepared for you. I believe that for every single one of us here today. But if we're going to live into that, if we're going to step onto that path, we're going to step into those plans that God really has for us, I think we need to get rid of some of the things that hold us back. Some of the things that we let in here and in here. We got to get rid of some of that stuff that holds us back. So today is the beginning of a soul detox. And I'm praying that it would be the beginning of the end of some of the toxic things that hold you and me hostage, that tie us up, that hold us back from the life that God really wants for. So I'm really glad you could be here for it. The topic for week one, I mean, as we start this soul detox, the very first thing that we need to get rid of in our life, it was so easy for me to pick as I sat here thinking about this series. What would we talk about in week one? What's the very first thing that we need to detox from when we do this soul detox? It was so easy for me to decide on, so easy for me to pick, because it is the very thing, believe it or not, it is the very thing that holds me back. It's the very thing that ties me up. It's the very thing that holds me hostage and that holds me back from the things that I think God is really wanting me to pursue. It's holding me back from the things that God has called me to. Here's what it is. It's toxic thinking. More than that, it's believing lies about myself. Lies that fill my head and sound so true, the more and more I let them sit there. It's toxic thinking that we need a detox from. This might surprise you, but most often when I finish speaking here at church, this is just to give you a little sense of what this looks like in me, in hopes that maybe it's you can figure out what this looks like for you. But this might be a surprise to you, but most often when I finish speaking here at church on Sundays, the very first thought that comes to my mind right when I'm done is, well, that was bad. I go home. I'm being so honest. You can talk to my wife. Like, Sundays are like her favorite days of the week. You'll be able to figure out pretty quickly here. I go home and I decompress and I debrief all this stuff. And there are weeks where I'm not joking you. There are weeks where I'm literally convinced, like, I don't think anybody's coming back next week. Not after that. I mean, there are weeks where I'm literally convinced, like, I think it's getting worse week after week. Nobody's coming back. I'll be answering questions with someone here on Sunday, or maybe in the community, maybe in an email, or you know, maybe over a phone call. And as soon as I walk away from these conversations, as soon as I click send on an email or hang up the phone call, my mind goes into warp speed. I mean, as soon as I click send on an email that I've read like 80 bazillion times just to make sure that this thing is right, my mind goes into warp speed. What do I tell myself? They'll be disappointed in that. They'll be disappointed in that answer. They'll be disappointed in me. Right? Now they're going to finally realize that I'm not who they thought I was. I'd be in a conversation with someone. I'm smiling and laughing. They're smiling and laughing. And I walk away and I go, yeah, they don't like me. I mean, this is the stuff that's filling my head. Let's get real recent here. I'll just tell you one more to let you know what this looks like in me. For the last few weeks here At Midcurrent, my friend and colleague James Brown was here from Crossroads Church as a guest speaker for a couple weeks. Over the past 15 years, there's been a number of occasions where I've almost worked at Crossroads Church, been connected with them for so long. There's been a number of occasions where I almost worked at Crossroads Church. And James, who was here with us and who has been here with us, James was always at the center of those conversations. James was always at the table in those conversations. And James was also always very vocal, very upfront about his interest in me joining the team, about his hopes that maybe this would be the next step for me, that maybe I would join the team. Well, for a variety of different reasons, all of them the right reasons, reasons that mean I'm here doing this, which I'm so thrilled about. But for all of the right reasons, I never ended up working at Crossroads Church. But I've always respected them still, always thought really highly of them and their staff and the team that they have over there, and always hoped that they still felt the same about me. Let's get back to the past couple weeks. James was here. James had a chance to see what I'm up to. James had a chance to come in and see what I've created here. He got a chance to come and see me in action right here on my own turf. Right, to see how I lead, to see how I do my thing, to see what it is that we've got going on here. And when all was said and done, this is just this last Sunday, when all was said and done, I went to James, I shook his hand, and I said, thanks for coming. And it was 2 great weeks. Man, I heard so many great things about his time here with us from all of you. 2 great mornings. But I go to James, I shake his hand, and I say, thanks. Right, for everything that you've done. And as he walks to his car, walking away from what it is that I'm doing here, as he walks to his car, you know the first thought that comes into my head? This is very serious. The first thought that comes into my head is this: man, I'll bet he's relieved that I never ended up working at Crossroads. It's like, where does this stuff come from, right? Without any evidence, without any real indication that this is actually maybe possibly how James felt at all, I just assumed that he's unimpressed with me, right? Talk about poisonous, toxic thinking that happens in our mind. The scenarios may change, but the thinking is often the same. The same message, the same tape I find is playing in my head. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. Right? You're not impressive enough. You're not spiritual enough. You're not a good enough speaker. You're not a good enough pastor. You're not a good enough leader. You're not a good enough husband. You're not a good enough dad. Right? The list goes on. You're not good enough. So often in the areas of my life that I really care about the most, things that are most important to me, my mind is filled with toxic thinking and lies about myself that after a while start to feel so very true. Now, I don't share that with you. Here's the thing. I don't share that with you in hopes of, like, you know, getting your sympathy, or you're like, oh, we feel so bad for you. That's not why I share this with you, right? I share this with you only in hopes that somebody can relate. I share this with you in hopes that someone might be able to identify. You know what? I think the same thing is happening, right? That maybe somebody could identify with this. Maybe you can. Maybe the same type of toxic thinking is holding you back. Maybe the same type of toxic thinking is holding you hostage, is literally tying you up, binding you up in some areas of your life that you really care about, some areas in your life that, are frankly, really important areas of your life. Maybe you've got a similar tape playing in your head. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I'll always fail. Right, I'll never amount to anything. I'll never catch my break. I could never change. I could never quit. My life stinks. My life doesn't matter. I'll never make a difference. I'll never find love. I'll never get over this. I'll never find what it is that I was meant to do. Nobody gets me. Nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. God doesn't care about me. God could never love me. God could never use me. Right, the list could go on and on and on and on of the lies that we tell ourselves, the toxic thinking that we allow into our minds, into our psyche, into our subconscious, right? The list goes on and on for the lies that we might tell ourselves. And here's the thing, this is, you know, can be disheartening. This can be, you know, discouraging and depressing, and that's not fun. But here's the deal, it's not just depressing. It's not just disheartening. It's not just discouraging. It's also incredibly destructive. It's also incredibly harmful to you and to me and to the lives that we are living. Look with me, if you would, at what Proverbs 23, verse 7 says. The writer, a guy named Solomon, he writes this: "So as he thinks within himself, so he is." Catch that? "So as he thinks within himself, so he is." Okay? There's different translations that kind of put a different spin on this or translate it a little bit differently, but all of them are getting at the very same thing. There is a connection between what's in here and what's out here. So as he thinks within himself, so he is, right? You've heard the saying before, you are what you eat. You've heard that, right? According to this, it seems like the more accurate thing to say is you are what you think, right? You are what you think. This should get our attention, right? In light of some of the things that we think about ourselves, right? If you're anything like me, right? In light of some of the things that we think about ourselves, this should get our attention, right? Because this could be dangerous. That we are what we think. Now, I don't like say that, right? You are what you eat. You are what you think. You know, I don't make that connection to try to get a laugh or to make a joke or to be trite about this situation. I'm just trying to make sense of this. So as he thinks within himself, so he is, right? So as I think within myself, so I actually am. So as you think within yourself, so you are. You are on the outside what it is that you are thinking or whatever it is you are feeling on the inside. Folks, here's what I want to suggest to you today, right? That the life you are living is a reflection of the thoughts that you are thinking. Let me say that again. The life you are living is a reflection of the thoughts that you are thinking. The life that you're living out here, the things that you're doing out here is a reflection of the thoughts that you're thinking in here. That's why this matters, right? Because there's a connection between what's in here and what's out here. There's a connection, right? So when you think negative thoughts, then what happens? You start to become a negative person. When you think fearful thoughts, you become a fearful person. When you think critical thoughts, you become a critical person. And the list goes on and on and on, right? The life that you are living is a reflection of the thoughts that you are thinking. What's interesting to me about this is we kind of tie this all together, this notion that we are on the on the outside, what it is that's happening on the inside. What's interesting to me about this is that this writer Solomon, he seems to kind of be on to something from the very beginning. He seems to have known then what scientists are coming to understand today, that our minds are powerful, that there's a connection, right? That our thinking influences so much of our being. He seems to understand this, that our thinking influences so much of our being and it influences so much of our living. Here, I found this fascinating, the little research I was doing this week. Here's what we know about our mind, right? Solomon's in some ways kind of talking about the power of what's happening in here, what's happening on the inside, right? Here's what we know about our mind. Whenever we have a thought in our brain, whenever we have a thought, our brain literally redesigns itself around that thought. There's actually like a chemical change to the makeup of our brain. So here's what happens, right? This is kind of what stopped me in my tracks based on the tapes that play over and over again in my head. Here's what happens, right? The more you think a thought, it creates what scientists call a neural pathway. Okay? The more you think a thought, the more the same thought comes into your mind, scientists say it creates a neural pathway. What's a neural pathway? I had to find out too. And to the best of my very unscientific understanding, a neural pathway is a shortcut. It's a shortcut in our brain that makes it easier to think a certain thought again. Let me see if I can help you understand this a little bit more. Think of a forest or think of a field, maybe your own backyard even. You ever notice like the little shortcuts through the field, through the grass, the pathway off of the designated trail, off of the designated sidewalk where the grass is trampled down a little bit? You ever notice these things? Over time, here's what happens. Over time, enough people, you can see on this little picture I threw up here. Here's what happens. Over time, enough people have walked in the same direction. Enough people have kind of blazed the same trail that it becomes easier for the next person to walk the same way. And eventually, after enough time and enough people have walked the same way, eventually right through the grass, right through the crops, right through the field, maybe right through your own front yard, right? The corner of your, you know, lot, right? That people cut across, right? Eventually what happens is right through the middle of it, a new pathway is forged, making it easier to get from one place to the next. It's a little shortcut. The same thing is happening in our brain. The more we think a thought, that thought is easier to think again. Catch that? The more we think a thought, the easier it is to think that thought again and again and again. Why? Because we're creating pathways. And over time, our brain doesn't have to work very hard. There's not as much to clear through. Over time, our brain doesn't have to work very hard to think that thought again. For me, I'm just being honest here. For me, it looks like this, right? The more I tell myself, well, that was bad, the quicker my brain can recall that very same conclusion the next time around. All of a sudden, it doesn't have to work very hard to connect the dots between what I do And my evaluation of it. My brain doesn't have to work very hard to make up its mind about what has just happened, right? When I speak, boom, it's no good. I've just created a shortcut. My brain doesn't have to work very hard to draw the same conclusion. When I speak, it's no good, right? When I meet someone new, they'll be disappointed. It's created the shortcut already. It knows what to do. If I make a decision, it'll be the wrong one. My brain has just been trained to travel that pathway. It's a shortcut in our brain. What have I done? Right? I've let negative thoughts hang around in my mind. I've let them set up shop, and I've let them mow. They're not just trampling down. I've let these kind of thoughts mow a devastating shortcut. In some ways, right to my heart, right? And if I pay close attention, I start to see that the life I'm living quickly becomes a reflection of these thoughts that I'm thinking. Defeated. I'm discouraged. I'm no good. I could never do that. I could never be like that, right? And this is dangerous, right? So as I am thinking within myself, so I am. There's a connection between what's on the inside and what's on the outside. As I think within myself, so I am. The question that I want to ask you this morning is, do you know what you think? Do you know the thoughts that you're thinking within yourself? And are you able to put your finger on the tape that's playing in your head? Do you know what lies you tell? Do you know what's kind of become the default way of thinking in you? What shortcuts have you created in your own mind, in your own heart? Right, maybe some of those shortcuts look like this, right? I'm going on a date. She won't like me, right? You know how this thing works. I think I like him. It won't last. I applied for the job. I'll never get it. I just submitted my work. They won't like it. I made a new friend. They won't stick around. I'm new to town. No one will accept me, right? I did my best. It's not enough. I made a mistake. I'll never recover, right? I'm going to church again. God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you, right? We make these connections because of the lies that exist in our head over and over and over again. It's serious stuff. The toxic thinking that we allow in our hearts. Here's the deal. I think that if we're going to be all that God created us to be, if we're going to experience all that God has prepared for us, which I said at the beginning of this, I really do believe, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, I believe it when it says that God has a plan for you. God has a bright future for you. I believe if you and I are going to live into that future, then we need to rid our hearts and rid our minds and rid our souls of this type of toxic thinking, because it's poisoning our minds and it's absolutely sabotaging our lives when we let this stuff hang around in our heads. But here's the thing. It's not always, It's not always as easy as it sounds, right? Getting rid of this type of thinking, if we're talking about a detox, right? Getting rid of this kind of behavior, getting rid of this kind of toxic thinking, it's not always as easy as it sounds, right? Getting rid of it, frankly, it's easier with food. Too much sugar, stop eating it. Too much candy, just stop buying it. Too much coffee, too much Red Bull, too much alcohol, stop drinking it, right? But when it comes to the thoughts that we think, it's not always as easy as just not thinking it, right? When Erica hears, you know, like certain negative thoughts of mine again and again and again and again, she usually responds, "Sten, you gotta stop thinking that way." But if you have any of this kind of toxic thinking, you know, in any parts of your life, you know it's not always that easy. It's not always easy to just stop thinking. These kind of thoughts, especially if we've let them hang around, they just show up unannounced. They show up without notice and without any kind of warning. So here's the deal. I think we need a different strategy. I know that, you know, what Erica means when she says, hey, you just got to stop thinking that way. I know what she means, but really, I think we need a different strategy because the answer may not be to just stop thinking the thoughts that we think, but maybe the answer has something to do with giving our brain the option to choose the thoughts that it thinks. Started thinking about it like this. Maybe it's helpful for you. You know Newton's third law of motion, right? For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. That came to mind for me this week. And I started thinking, you know what? I want us to remember that the same thing is true for the thoughts that we think, right? And for every negative and toxic thought that tells us a lie, there is an equal, I would say maybe a greater, but right, there is an equal and opposite one telling us the truth. Right? For every lie, for every negative and toxic thought that we allow into our mind, there's an equal and opposite one that we need to hear that's true about me and that's true about you. So what do I want you to know that's true of you? The list is long, but here's what's true, right? That God is for you, not against you, right? That God is on your side, that God created you with a purpose in mind, with good things prepared in advance for you to do, that you are God's masterpiece, that God's love for you is so huge, that God's grace for you is sufficient, that God's grace is free, right? The list could go on and on of what is true about what God says about you and what God says about me. So here's my thinking. Let's give ourselves a fighting chance. Let's give ourselves a fighting chance to pick what it is that we're gonna believe. Let's give ourselves a chance to pick what is true rather than what is a lie. Here's what Paul, he's one of the first ever church leaders, one of the first ever church planters. Here's what he writes to a group of Christians in a little place called Philippi about experiencing what it is that God has prepared for them, about experiencing kind of the peace that God has in store for their life. He writes this in Philippians 4. He says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing," right? He's talked about a lot of different things, and he says, "Now just one final thing that I want to leave you with." He says, "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable." He says, "Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." I like that. I like that. Fix your thoughts, he says, and think about things. Right, the Greek word for think about, it's the word logisomai, and it actually means this is good. I like this. It actually means to count, to calculate, to compute, to count over, or to meditate on. That's what he's saying to do with what is right and what is true and what is honorable and what's worthy of praise. Count over. Calculate, compute, meditate on. Meditating, counting over, calculating, computing. These are careful. These are specific. These are intentional practices and activities that we do. Right? And Paul's saying, hey, you got to make a habit of thinking these things. You got to make it a habit to count over, to meditate on these things. Meditate on what is good and what is true and what is worthy of praise. Count over these things, compute these things, calculate these things over and over and over again. Because you know what happens then? When your brain thinks these thoughts over and over and over again, it becomes all that much easier the next time around to think that thought again. And when we choose this pathway, when we count over, when we compute, when we calculate this way of thinking, when we choose this pathway, you know what happens? The old pathway, it starts to grow over again. Right? The grass grows back up. The path isn't as clear. It isn't as appealing. It doesn't look as easy to travel as it used to. And so the more we walk on this pathway, the more we walk on God's pathway, the easier it is to travel. And the more truth, God's truth, what God says about you and what God says about me, the more this truth becomes the default. Right? The thoughts that we think are so powerful. Right? And this isn't just a message about saying, hey, you know, like, think happy thoughts. No, I'm saying, think careful. And think intentional thoughts about what is true so that this new pathway becomes the pathway that we travel on and that God's truth becomes the default. Because what happens then is the message change, right? Satan gets into our heads. Satan's lies fill our thoughts. And Satan says, oh, no, you can't. And you say, no, I can. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You say, oh, no. Satan says, you're not attractive enough. You say, no, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, you'll always be alone. No. God will never leave me. God will never forsake me. You don't have what it takes. No, maybe I don't, but when I am weak, he makes me strong, right? We have to remind ourselves over and over and over again that I am not who the enemy says I am, but I am who my God says that I am. The life that you are living, folks, it is a reflection. It is a reflection of the thoughts that you are thinking. You are, in so many ways, what you think. And so here's my plea to you as we begin this series called Detox. Let's pay extra close attention to what it is that we think about ourselves. Let's make it a practice in our day, in our weeks, to meditate on, to think on, to count over again and again and again what is good and what is right and what is honorable and what is true about ourselves and about what God says about ourselves. Because if we're going to live into, right, if this year or this month or this week, if it's going to be different, right, if we're going to live into all that God has in store for us, we need to rid our minds. We need to rid our thinking of the toxic lies and the poisonous thinking that sabotages the very life that is ahead of each and every one of us, a life that I want us to experience, a life that God has planned for us and wants us to experience as well. Let me pray. God, we give you thanks for this morning, and we give you thanks, God, for a new year. For so many of us, as we've been saying here, a new year is a great thing. It is a blank slate. It is a fresh start. It is a redo. It is a second chance to maybe get things right this time that we haven't gotten right at some time before. God, so I'm just grateful for the fresh start that maybe some of us are sensing is ahead of us right now. God, as we move forward into the next day, into the next month, into the next year that's ahead of us, God, as we move into the plans that you have for us, as we step onto the path that you have laid out for us, God, as we pursue the things that maybe you're calling us to, as we take a step toward the things that maybe you're nudging us to, God, I pray that we would find a way to hear your voice above all the rest. God, we're grateful that in the pages of Scripture, we're reminded of what you say we are. God, and what you think about us. God, and I pray that we would find time and we would find the energy and the discipline to think on these things, to remind ourselves of who we are, to remind ourselves of who you created us to be. God, so we've got a chance to think the thoughts that you think are true of us. God, I pray that we might be able to rid ourselves of any kind of thinking that tells us otherwise, any kind of thinking that would have a negative effect or a critical effect or a fearful effect on the type of lives that we are living and the types of people that we are becoming. God, might we this year, might we this week start the process of getting rid of those kind of negative and hurtful and toxic thoughts that fill our heads and fill our minds and fill our hearts. God, would you help us to do that? So that we could become more of who you designed and created us to be. I give you thanks for this morning, and we give you thanks for this place. God, would you continue to speak into our heart as we go from this place? And we pray these things in your name.